move now to questions for the candidates. Does anybody have any questions for the candidates that they would like to ask? You may direct your question to a specific candidate, or you may put it to both. If you put it to both, we'll go in candidate nomination order, so Fletcher and then Michelle. If no one asks a question, I definitely will. So you don't get off. You don't get off scot-free, young people. So, as far as the Trans-Pacific Partnership goes, we've seen a couple of leaks so far. We've seen a leak of the intellectual property chapter, and we've seen a leak of the environmental chapter. What would you say would be the biggest issue surrounding the Trans-Pacific Partnership as it stands right now? Fletcher first.
Well, I think there's two ways that we can look at that. There's issues with the specific texts, well, the specific agreements within the TPP, but then there's also the actual way that it's been negotiating. Our method of negotiating and the absolute secrecy within which everything has been done is probably one of our major issues. If we're looking more at actual policy decisions that would be severely detrimental, I'd say probably most of the copyright and intellectual property reforms suggested, specifically patent laws.
Okay, and Michelle?
Well, as Fletcher said, the main problem that I have with it is the fact that everything's just done in secret. We don't really have any input into it. We can't even find out what's happening in it unless we have these leaks. And yeah, of course, the content of it is not something that we really even want.
Thanks, both very good answers. So the next question comes from Luke John, and it's directed towards Michelle. What do you mean by equal rights to medical treatment? He says he can't find any policies online.
Well, that's just one of my core beliefs. It's not necessarily a party thing, it's just something that I believe. There's a lot of people in our society that don't have access to medical treatment that they should.
Thank you for your response, Michelle. Luke, if you have a follow-up question, feel free to just state it in IRC and we'll go to it. Simon Frew has a question for both. Are there any major disagreements you have with any of our platform? If there is, are you happy to argue for something you personally disagree with in public? So Fletcher first.
The short answer there is no. I have no disagreements, and while I don't foresee any problems, any future disagreements, because the party's core tenets are my own, if there was, then I would, of course, reflect party policy in all discussions, because at the end of the day, in this respect, I am a part of Pirate Party representative.
Thank you, Fletcher and Michelle.
Well, no, I don't have any disagreements with any of the policies. As Fletcher said, if I did have a disagreement in the future, then I'd just be, say, part of party policy.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Are there any further questions for the candidates? I see we've just had a person recently join the chat room. I'll inform them of what's going on. A question from Mark Gibbons. How would you sum up pirate philosophy in one sentence? Fletcher.
I guess the best way would be we represent scientific freedom.
Could you elaborate on that a bit?
I could, but that wouldn't be one sentence.
Well played. So, Michelle.
Okay, I guess what I could say is we support democracy and freedom.
Succinct. Okay, Mark, if you have a follow-up question, feel free to put it in IRC. Does anybody else have a question for the candidates? That question isn't relevant to the candidates, Luke John, as they aren't dealing with preference strategy, but I'll phrase the question, I'll put the question anyway, just for the record. What will be your strategy to get high placement on GBTs, given that the traditional mechanism of preference trading will not be available? So, quite simply, that's a matter for the National Council to handle and not the candidates, although they will be involved in the discussions. That's, it's something bigger. So are there any other questions for the candidates? While we're waiting for further questions, I'll ramble a bit. So we're running our Possible campaign to reach a target of $10,000 for funding our election efforts in WA. So far, we are at approximately $6,000. I'm just opening the webpage to get the exact number at this moment. And it counts slowly. So we're at $6,275. We've raised that in 6 days. So we've gotten about $1,000 per day. And essentially speaking, this is the equivalent of holding out a digital tin can. We've essentially just tweeted and put some stuff on Facebook saying, give us money. And generally, people have. But until we hit the $10,000, we don't have the $10,000. That's how these crowdfunding campaigns work. So it is of great importance that you inform your friends, family, and everyone you've ever met that they should be contributing to our campaign. So on Monday, we will hopefully be launching some data retention-related imagery, essentially memes that we can use to propagate support on Facebook, because generally how marketing works on Facebook, people click like on shiny pictures that they want to see more of, and you just add at the bottom, also you should donate. That goes viral, you get money. But the other issue is, of course, that most people do not quite understand how data retention actually affects them, and that metadata is in fact personal information. So it's about driving that point home and getting the more complex ideas across, such as a mobile phone as a tracking device, by using simple concepts like, so they know that you went to an HIV website and they know that you called your health insurance company, but they don't know what the call was about. Making these ideas into a simple meme that you can put across to people is a very good way that we can actually engage with community and inform them of these issues and gain support for us as well, because it's just a win-win-win situation. We're making informative information available to the general public in a manner they want to see it, which will immediately give kudos to us. So, are there any further questions for the candidates? Okay, I guess then there are pretty much no further questions for the candidates at this stage. So I will just ask in general if there is a question in general about the WA Senate pre-selection process or in general about the WA branch. Okay, well then I propose that we take a 10-minute break, even though that effectively means nothing. It just means we'll be quiet for 10 minutes and see if any more people come really late and want to ask specific questions. So 10 minutes, we return at 4:30.
Or 1:30 for those that are in WA.
Okay, let's get back into it. Right after I find the question I have to pose next. Okay, so a question from Luke John to both. Have you previously been involved in political campaigns? So, Fletcher.
No, I haven't. This will be my first federal election. It's my first political party, and it'll be my first political campaign.
So, just to quickly follow on from that, what qualities do you bring that make up for your lack of experience?
Well, firstly, a strong technological background and scientific background. I understand all our policies. I understand all the reasoning behind all our policies, and I can easily explain them to basically anyone.
Okay, thank you. Oh, you want to go on?
May as well. So basically what I'm hoping is that in the end, I can stand on our policies. We don't need a terribly charismatic person, though it wouldn't be too terrible. We have our policies are strong, they're well thought out, and they'll work. It's basically all we need to do is share them with the rest of Australia.
Thank you, Fletcher. So, Michelle, just to repeat the question to you with my modification to it. Have you previously been involved in political campaigns? And either way, what qualities do you bring to make up for your lack of experience?
Well, no, I haven't been involved in any previous campaigns. I haven't really found a party that connected with me really before. To make up for my lack of experience, pretty much the same as what Fletcher said, I believe that I can just explain the policies to anybody and really we'll just stand on how the policies are, not how... Yeah. Now I'm just rambling.
Thank you, Michelle. There was another question for both from Paul D. How do you feel about trolling on the internet?
I guess it really depends on where the trolling is directed. It's always possible to troll communities, control people in a way that isn't directly harmful or even indirectly harmful, and it's just good fun. The trouble is when this sort of trolling starts affecting people that aren't capable of processing it in a productive way, for example. So what we start to see is effects on children and effects on other individuals within our community that we really don't want to see. So in all, I'd say trolling is probably not the best thing in the world. As a party, we are trying to negatively affect trolling, I guess would be one of the best ways to describe it, but in a way that we believe will actually work, as opposed to knee-jerk censorship plans that we're currently seeing for possible implementation on social networks such as Facebook. We believe instead that the key to preventing trolling in a way that negatively affects children is through mediation, through counselling, through services, basically through proven methods that aren't just bureaucratic, because in the end, both the victims and a lot of the perpetrators are children, and the judicial system is probably not the best avenue for that.
Thank you, Fletcher. Michelle?
Well, I personally think that the definition of trolling has changed, really. Trolling in the past used to be just having some fun, some harmless fun, and, yeah, people would get a little bit upset about it, but it wasn't intended to actually harm them. Nowadays, it has changed to be really bullying, and I personally think that needs to stop. So, yeah, standard policies against bullying apply, whether it's called trolling or not, really.
Thank you, Michelle. There was something I was going to say earlier, and it's completely gone out of my brain. Yeah, it's gone.
Possibly relating to our policy development committee working groups?
No.
Maybe?
No, you covered off that pretty well. I'm just waiting for someone to provide a name to put the question. I'll put my own again. So if you were elected to the Senate, always a fun sentence. Okay, sorry, distracted by OSC. So if you're elected to the Senate, what do you think you would focus on initially? What would be the first action you would like to take as a senator?
I guess the first action I'd like to take would be to assist in the removal of the privacy around the Trans-Pacific Partnership discussions, and I guess, yeah, that would probably be my first goal within the Senate.
Did you say privacy when you meant secrecy just then?
Yes, I did. My apologies.
That's all right. Michelle?
Well, mine would probably be to try and stop essentially the graduated response that's trying to be introduced in Australia.
Yep, for those who aren't aware, graduated response is three strikes. It's a form of copyright response where after three or six, or depending on what the country implements, a set amount of letters are sent to you through your ISP, you will lose internet connectivity permanently through that ISP, which is a pretty screwed up concept. Our policy is, of course, to not allow this to occur in Australia. There is a lot of scientific basis against it. I will put to you a question from a guest called Sam. This is a pretty out there one, and I will first put out there that we don't actually have a specific policy on national crises per se, but we do have a very democratic focus, and as such, that is usually our default position. But what are your views on the situation in Ukraine?
Violence should never be a tool used by democratic and civilized governments against other nations. We use violence against people who are trying to hurt everyone. Their current actions, it's quite frankly, it leaves me speechless. Well, it left me speechless when I first started reading into it. It's pretty much appalling.
Michelle?
Well, as Fletcher said, I don't support violence in this case. To be honest, I haven't really been following it that much. I just don't really support it.
Thank you. Presumably a guest, Paul D, has asked the question, what is your stance on abortion? Fletcher.
My stance on abortion is the same as that shared by the Pirate Party. Basically, we have a basic premise of personal freedom. Part of this is the ability to make choices about your body without government oversight. Summarize, I personally and the party believes in a woman's right to choose to have an abortion.
Thank you, Fletcher. Michelle?
I personally believe it is the woman's right to choose whether they want an abortion or not.
Thank you, Michelle. Are there any further questions for the candidates? So, a question from Paul D. What is your favorite video game? Fletcher.
That's a bit of a difficult. That's probably a more difficult question than the previous one, personally. I play a hell of a lot of EVE Online, but I guess my most recent favorite game would be Civilization V. I've started thinking in turns, which I found to be a bit of a problem.
Thank you, Fletcher. Michelle.
Well, my favorite is definitely a game called APB Reloaded. It's a free-to-play game that I've somehow managed to spend about $1,300 on.
How?
There's a lot of purchases in it, and I really like the developers, so I keep supporting them.
Okay, so there's your answer, Paul. Are there any other questions for the candidates? Okay, another question. What is your opinion on capital punishment? Fletcher.
The way I see it, there's two avenues of thought as to how you can approach capital punishment and punishment in general. If we're using it as purely a form of punishment, or the other alternative is if we're treating jails, well, prison, as a form of rehabilitation, which ultimately I think is probably the better goal. So in that sense, capital punishment doesn't work. It's not a deterrent. It doesn't stop people from committing crimes. And once and it doesn't offer any method of rehabilitation whatsoever. Added on to that, it's also, as we've seen in the past, our judicial system doesn't always make the right choice. A lot of cases that were decided before the use of DNA, for example, would have a completely different outcome in today's courts. But unfortunately, because of capital punishment, we can't right the wrongs done to those people. So basically, capital punishment is a permanent solution, well, a permanent knee-jerk solution to something that really needs to be approached in a different way.
Thank you, Fletcher. Michelle?
Well, I personally just don't believe in capital punishment at all. It doesn't work. Anything that we've seen in the past has just shown that it doesn't work as a deterrent. And, yeah, it just doesn't work.
So, thanks for your response, Michelle. Okay, so someone has asked a question that's essentially the same as another question, so I'll just merge them. What are your current thoughts on the state of the National Broadband Network and the future of the National Broadband Network? I will reword that in a way that matters for a candidate. So what is your personal opinion on essentially our policy of supporting fibre to the premises for internet infrastructure projects in Australia? Fletcher?
We're seeing more and more industries move towards internet-based solutions. So Australia's current internet infrastructure really doesn't stand up to that. It will basically prevent Australian citizens from getting the jobs that they can and participating in society in a meaningful way. Fibre to the premises is the next step in internet infrastructure, and it's time that the Australian government recognises that and stops trying to introduce half-assed solutions.
Michelle?
Well, I personally believe that the main thing holding us back in Australia is the fact that on pretty much every connection, our upload speed is just abysmal. We can't do anything that requires us to actually send out a decent amount of data. And as such, fibre is really needed for this. The half-assed responses that the coalition has come up with, like fibre to the node, that kind of thing, will end up being more expensive in the long run. I can't see the point in doing it when we've already got the plans laid out for a world-class network.
Thank you, Michelle. Just making sure I didn't miss a question here. Oh, I did. So from Luke, John, both, are you for or against Australia becoming a republic? I'd just like to state that the party has no explicit policy on this at this time. So Fletcher.
To be perfectly honest, Australia being subject to a monarchy does have its purposes. We see having an Attorney General does provide some protection that is sorely needed. An example of why this is the case would be the shutdown of the United States government, which couldn't really happen in Australia in a meaningful way.
You met Governor General there, not Attorney General.
I did. Thank you, Brandon.
So, Michelle.
Well, I don't really have a stance on the issue. To me, it just doesn't really matter if we are or aren't, from everything that I've researched.
Thank you for your response, Michelle. Luke, John, if you have a follow-up comment or question, feel free to drop it in IRC. This is the last one I'm asking that's not directly related to politics or policy. To both, what's your operating system of choice? Fletcher.
Different operating systems for different things. I game on Windows. My laptop has Linux. Specifically, Ubuntu distribution.
And Michelle?
Well, same as Fletcher, really. Different operating systems for different uses. My main desktop computing, I've always found Windows to be better at that. For servers or anything else, it's always Linux.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for the candidates?
If I could just take a moment to expand on my previous answer regarding the NBN.
Sure.
The current solution is really just a the current solution being proposed by the government is really just a haphazard combination of a bunch of outdated technologies that really don't serve Australia, which is really going to result in substandard or subpar services for a majority of Australians, and highly preferencing those that live in capital cities. Really what we're looking for is equality in internet freedom or in internet access, the same way that we're looking for equality in all things. There's no reason why someone living in a country town should have less access to this vital resource than someone that lives in a capital city.
Thank you. Any further questions for the candidates? Yeah, look, the entirety of it is being recorded, so the recording should be published pretty much immediately after anyway, so we'll be able to minute after the fact anyway. Are there any further questions for the candidates? I propose, unless there are any objections, that we close this meeting at 5 o'clock, so we have time for about 5 o'clock for me, 2 o'clock for you, WA people. So if there are any further questions, get them in now, because once it hits 5, I propose that we close the meeting. Okay, I'll just put this question in a way that kind of makes sense in the Australian context. So the Pirate Party has a position on asylum seekers and refugees that is essentially to set up a regional, well, an actual solution to the issue of asylum seekers in this region. What's your position on how we're handling asylum seekers, the current government policy of handling asylum seekers, the policy that the Pirate Party proposes to solve the issue, and immigration in general? Fletcher.
Basically, one of the main misconceptions that we're currently seeing is the difference between immigrant.
Sorry, what was that, Fletcher? Fletcher. It seems that Fletcher has dropped out. So, Michelle, if you could answer that question, we'll return to Fletcher when he returns.
Okay, well, I personally think the issue is completely blown out of proportion. It's people coming to this country shouldn't be treated the way that they're treated. They should... Yeah, I support the party policy of actually helping these people.
So what would your opinion of the current government policy be in that case?
Well, the current policy is apparently to stop the boats, whereas what they're actually doing is stopping press releases about the boats. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. So Fletcher, are you back?
I am.
Okay, so I'll repose the question for you. So essentially the question was, what is your position, or at least opinion, of the current government asylum seeker policy, and what's your opinion of the Pirate Party's policy on the matter, and what's your opinion of immigration in general?
The current governmental position is basically to demonize and criminalize what is currently and what should be a completely legal practice, which is seeking asylum. That's something that Australia has agreed to within United Nations conventions, and it's something that the Australian government at the moment is trying to back out of. It's important to remember that What they're in fact trying to back out of is a basic human right, which is something that's basically, well, that I personally believe is completely unacceptable. The Pirate Party's stance is basically that we need an Asia Pacific, or even just a global solution to people seeking refugees, which is setting up a single queue, a single authority, an organization that can process refugees. This reduces the load on both Australia, or on not just Australia, but individual countries, both in terms of logistics and actually accepting refugees. But also, sorry, it looks like I've just disconnected from IRC again.
It's okay, just keep talking here.
Oh, you can still hear me. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought.
You were essentially saying that the solution that we're proposing has the effect of allowing a more balanced approach to how many refugees are let in for each country in the region, and then you're going on from there.
Thank you. So yes, basically our solution will reduce the number of refugees that are possible to overburden a country, which I think is one of the main fears that most Australians have regarding refugees, is that we're going to become flooded with people. Our solution will prevent that. What it also means is that we no longer have bodies like the Australian government, well, that can make the choice to try and avoid our responsibilities to accept refugees. We won't have problems like we're currently seeing with Manus Island. All these things just aren't possible under a central organization. The one other added bonus that is probably most notable is that it will also increase the amount of data that we can gather about refugees, and thus make better and more informed decisions regarding placement and acceptance acceptance of their status as a refugee, instead of having different processes by different countries that really just don't mesh together and don't work.
Thank you, Fletcher, for your response. Okay, so as I said, at 5 o'clock would be the last question. So Luke John's just got in with the final question. So to both, what is your opinion on nuclear power? Before you answer, I'd just like to point out that we do have a policy on energy which is 100% renewable, and in the sense of renewable, we mean any emerging technology that actually would solve the issue, which does not include nuclear at this time. So Fletcher.
Pirate Party's policies are based on science, so if we got to a point where nuclear power was a viable, sustainable power source, then we would embrace it wholeheartedly and permanently. Unfortunately, that's currently not the case.
Michelle?
Well, I personally believe that nuclear power can work if we manage to actually get rid of the waste safely and actually have plants that essentially can't melt down. As we've seen in the past, it's a real problem.
Thank you, Michelle. So that was the last question. I'd just like to thank the candidates, Fletcher Boyd and Michelle Allen, for their attendance today, their good speeches and their great responses. On closing, I'd just like to note that in the next hour or two, WA members will be receiving their ballot to determine for themselves which candidates they would like to run in their Senate grouping. And in a couple of days after that, we'll only have about 3 days to respond to this, I should note, so this is actually the minutes. I intend to close this ballot on Wednesday midnight Western Australian time, because we don't have much time to actually get this done. So once that's closed, I will then be working on getting the preferences determination system up for WA members to determine their preference order, which the National Council or the Election Committee will be taking and putting forward all of the putting forward the proposals to other parties and getting the best outcome for our party and preferably the country. So yes, thank you everybody for attending. We will be publishing the audio files as soon as possible at the end of the meeting as well. I will announce that probably in the WA ballot email that you'll receive. So thanks for coming, guys. Bye.